Happy Sunday. It's the beginning of another week. And here we are, gathered together as one big crazy family.
Yay!
Because who are we? One big crazy family. Well, at least that's how I see it. Maybe I'm speaking for myself and my own family, because I know it's true. On Tuesday night, we went to the Christmas cantata. And I imagine Pastor got a text because he leaned over and he said, "Who's talking this week? Do you guys want to share about Gather the Nations?" I was like, "Well, it's all nations, but okay." And Kay said, "Yeah, we'll figure something out." We worked 10-hour days all week. We were out on Tuesday. We were here on Wednesday. We had neighborhood cleanup on Thursday. We had something all day Friday and something all day Saturday. So I'm not exactly sure what this is going to look like.
But God does.
God does. And I'm stepping out and going with it, and it's going to be fun. As far as All Nations goes, Kay said, "I want to share stories." So she's all mic'd up and ready to share stories.
So we left Tuesday, right? We left Tuesday, and every year we plan to go to All Nations Gathering. So we save money. It's usually our tax return, but we save money to go every year. And we have a timeshare, so we share. So we've been trying really hard to make sure that we have the finances. Last year, on our way to All Nations, the truck broke down. Praise God, Pastor was behind us, and we loaded everything that was in the truck into his car. So we're like, "Yay, let's go with Pastor this year so we don't have to drive the truck." I don't have trust in the truck. I should probably have more trust in God for it, but I didn't have trust in the truck. So we all piled in Pastor's car on Tuesday and headed to Vegas, past Vegas, to Prim. So the first night there was no, we just got in the car and drove. We got to our destination, relaxed. And I'm a gambler. I'm just going to admit it. I'm a gambler. I like to put money in the slot machines and see the little spins and stuff like that. So I spent a little money gambling. Went to bed, got up the next morning. We headed out. We got to Barstow. We stopped at Barstow and had lunch. And when we had lunch, we stopped at the Crazy Chicken.
Pollo Loco.
Pollo Loco. I just say the Crazy Chicken because it's easier because I don't speak Spanish very well. So we stopped there. And Karina and I have been sharing meals because we're trying to eat healthier, keeping our portion under control. So we always get a salad with chicken. And then we got a little bowl of beans, black beans. And we were sharing it. And she's like, "Oh, those beans are hot." And I had put my fork up to my mouth and it had salad on it. And I started blowing on my salad. So Pastor's like, "Oh, there's a story for church. Ha ha, I got to share it and you didn't." So that was the first adventure. And then after we left there, we went to the mall and walked around the mall for a little while. And Karina wanted a new pair of shoes. We're trying to walk our way healthy. So now we need shoes every month because it's just to get healthy. We stopped and they had buy one, get one half off. So Karina got two new pairs of shoes. I'm like, "It's fine, just get them." And then we got going, and if you know any between here and California, there's a place called Victorville. And there was a stop in Victorville. So we opened up the phone and we opened up Google. We call her Googliana. Penny had that name, so we just kept it. But we opened up Google and there was a way around the traffic jam. So we went all the way around.
And it was going to cut our time down.
Yeah.
Instead of sitting in traffic, it was going to be faster to take the detour.
Yeah. So we started around and we were going and we're going through all of these little weird places and all these weird, little weird towns. And there were people that were following us. It wasn't just us that had pulled up their Google and had said, "Okay, this is a faster way around." So eventually, we ended up on a dirt road, and it was a washboard road. We learned that Pastor's car could handle a dirt washboard road. And so we're still following these people in there. It was like, Google is still a take slight right, slight left, slight right. By the time we finally got back to I-15, I had to pee really bad. But I'm like, okay, we can do this. So we're all following everybody. So we finally ended up on parallel to I-15 on the, I think it was the old 66 road. However, it was closed, and it had this big closed sign, but people were still taking the road. And so, not thinking, we were following everybody else. We got probably a couple miles down, and we all had to turn around and come back and go the other way. So our four-hour ride on Wednesday turned into a six-hour ride. And I think we should have stayed on I-15, but we didn't know. We just thought Google would tell us the right way, and she said it was faster. So we finally got to our timeshare, and we checked in, and every time you go to the timeshare, they say, we need to have a meeting with you so you know what's going to happen, and it'll only be 60 minutes. And I'm like, all right, we never believe that. Just to make a long story short, they suckered us into more credits. But I know God has a plan for this timeshare that we've been continually buying credits for. I believe he's going to use them for missions, for people to be able to go on mission trips. I honestly believe that. So then we get to All Nations, or we get to the conference. Conference starts, and Karina's going to share about the scripture, the original scripture. Doug Addison, if you don't know him, he's a comic, an evangelist, and he's funny, and he preached about an open heaven. And when he preached about the open heaven, he said, our community are the ones that are going to bring people to Christ. It's going to be through our group that's going to do that. And I was like, yeah, let's go. He shared that. And it was amazing to me because we just look forward to going every year because the anointing's so amazing to get with the people all over the nation. It's not just California, and it's just not Utah. We pray with a missionary in Australia who had come and brought her partner and her partner's sister, and they stayed in the other timeshare. Pastor Janet Parker, that usually comes for Synergy, she was there with us. It was just amazing just to get together with all these people. Pastor talked a couple weeks ago or last week about hugging. Every time you turned around, people were hugging each other. And it was so great. Oh, it's so good to see you. And they're all looking at Karina and I and going, what happened to you? There's half of you. Like, what happened to you? We're eating healthy. Karina had a health scare, and we're just trying to eat healthy. As we were going through that, it was nice just to go. So we have this book. It's called the Blood Sugar Solution Book, and we're living by it right now. We still have the Bible that we live by. But this is our Bible right now that we're eating healthy. It took us a long time to get to this point. I always laugh at Karina because she always say, I didn't know I'd like vegetables. I didn't know I'd like that. I didn't know. But she didn't because she wouldn't try anything. She would say, get that dish and I'll try it. So she would try it and then she wouldn't like it. I'm like, thanks. I'm glad I like food because I would try everything that she didn't want. So now we just eat chicken and salad, and we're starting to branch out to other things again. But we're healthy and happy, and that's where God wanted us to be. So that I told her, on the way home, I want to move. I don't want to sit. I want to go to All Nations. We've gone to All Nations. I want it to look different. I want it to be different. But the only one that can do that is me and you, because, you know, we're a team. But I want this church to move too. I always have. I'm like, get your butt out of the chairs, because that's not where God wants you. He wants you to be together as a family every Sunday to help uplift each other. But he wants us to grow. And when we grow, we need to step out in faith. As Jody talked about today, stepping out in faith, knowing that you have gifts and talents, knowing that God has all the finances you'll ever need. You just have to ask for them. He's bigger than we can ever imagine. But he wants our relationship. He wants this. He wants you to talk to him every day. He wants you to know that whatever you're going through, he has it covered. We just have to give it to him. It's not easy. It wasn't easy for Karina to give her anxiety to him. In the middle of it, she saw what she would happen. She didn't know what was going on with her health, and so she wouldn't eat anything because she was scared. That was pure hell for me because I didn't know what to cook, what not to cook. Honestly, it was pure hell. But now that we're on the other side of it, I can see the plan that God has. But we had to get to the point where we didn't have to eat all of the bad stuff that the world shares to us. We had to get to the point where we are looking good and feeling good about ourselves. I can tell you, when my mom died, I didn't care. I had that part of me that went, it doesn't matter. I'll just eat what I want. I'll just exist because I had lost something. But I had to go through that process to get to this point. And all I did was change my eating habits. Karina changed, we had to change our eating habits together because we're on this journey together. We're all on this journey together. The Bible is the book of instruction. It tells us everything that we need, but we have to look for the promises. And when we look for the promises, we have to ask for the promises. And once we ask for the promises, we have to expect that we're going to receive them. We can't just sit on the chair and wait. We have to go. We have to go. I don't know where God's going to tell you to go, but God's going to tell you to go somewhere. Ask him, where am I supposed to go today to bless somebody else? Because when I get that blessing, it's going to multiply. And when I bless somebody else, it's going to multiply. Sorry, I'm not supposed to preach. It's your turn.
That really doesn't hurt my feelings. It's awfully funny, though. This morning, Pastor had me pick out a bulletin cover. I said, okay, we got your scriptures. Now pick out a bulletin cover. And I'm like, oh, I don't know. There's nothing. And then, as you should all have, this cute little yellow page says, I love to tell the story. And what was Kay doing? Telling stories. Of unseen things above, of Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story because I know 'tis true. It satisfies my longings as nothing else can do. I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme in glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love. Ultimately, that's what the whole thing is about. That's what our lives are about when we get to that point. The Bible is a book full of stories about people who have and have had experiences that we can relate to. Sometimes we think, oh, well, that was 3,000 years ago. How does that relate to me? Well, look beyond the surface of the words and look at the issue. Odds are we're having the same issues now as we did then. When we got to All Nations, Pastor Sandy opened on Thursday evening with a new emphasis on an old passage. She focused on two translations, but if you looked in your bulletin, you can see there are four because I'm a little bit nerdy that way. I think it's really fun to look at the same passage in different translations because there's almost always something new to grab onto. One of the books, The Voice translation, it offered kind of a context introduction. And it says, the prophet appeals to a powerful memory, the Exodus. He reminds God's people, all descendants of slaves in Egypt, how God liberated them from oppression, how God devastated the powerful army that pursued them in order to take them back to the whip and lash, back to servitude in Egypt. Stories of the Exodus have been told time after time for many generations. They are permanent fixtures in their minds. The prophet evokes these amazing memories to comfort the people and assure them that what God is about to do is like what God did for their ancestors centuries before. I think most of us would be familiar with New King James. And in that translation, Isaiah 43:18-19, God is telling the people, do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. So have we been here before? Are we going to focus on what happened in the past? We have words right here that do not remember the former things. I take a little bit of issue with that, and we'll get there. But God says, behold, I will do a new thing. All nations celebrated 50 years. 50 years of the Jesus movement and 50 years of LGBT Christian movement this month, early this month. 50 years. All the hippies came to Christ. Fantastic stories. We got to watch a documentary of Lonnie Frisbee that Pastor talked about last week. We got to see firsthand, you know, on the TV, some of those things that happened. And it was amazing. And that was 50 years ago. Do we remember that? Well, yeah, we remember it. We celebrated it. Why? Because we have God's word that says, okay, this happened, and I'm going to do a new thing. The New Century Version says, the Lord says, forget what happened before and do not think about the past. Look at the new thing I'm going to do. It is already happening. Don't you see it? I will make a road in the desert and rivers in the dry land. Do you see what's happening? Kay talked about Doug Addison in the open heaven, and he's been, for the last few years, he's been coming to the Glory Center and telling the gathering that God is going to do something new. He's going to have a new move, and it's going to start with the LGBTQI community. Do we believe it? Can we see it? It's right there. Look at the new thing I'm going to do. It's already happening. Don't you see it? The message tells us, forget about what's happened. Don't keep going over old history. Be alert. Be present. I'm about to do something brand new. It's bursting out. Don't you see it? There it is. I'm making a road through the desert, rivers in the Badlands. Are you getting the sense of immediacy that comes with this? Don't just sit there and wait. I have to say, though, that the voice in this is my favorite, so I'm gonna keep going so we get there. In the voice translation of the Bible, the Eternal One says, don't revel only in the past or spend all your time recounting the victories of days gone by. Watch closely. I am preparing something new. It's happening now, even as I speak, and you're about to see it. I am preparing a way through the desert. Waters will flow where there had been none. I like this one because it doesn't say forget the past. It says don't revel in the past. By all means, remember. We should remember our roots and where we came from and all the things that happened to get us where we are in this place of freedom now. Because if it wasn't for a gay preacher being willing to start a home group, there wouldn't be a family of churches that are so accepting. If it wasn't for the Jesus movement, and one of the guys who started that movement really going was a hippie who happened to be gay. But, you know, you don't see that part in the history books so much. But you hear it in the documentary. It's a starting place. We should remember those things. We should recount the victories of days gone by. We shouldn't get stuck there. There's absolutely no reason we should be stuck in the past. Oh, this happened and it was so wonderful. We should do this all the time. Well, after a while, it gets old. It gets comfortable. It gets old. We get complacent. We get lazy and we don't want to do anything. We just want to sit and be fed. But as believers, it's our responsibility to bear fruit. You can't sit and be fed and bear fruit without moving. You have to meet people. You have to meet people where they are. You have to engage with them. You have to keep feeding yourself so that you have something to share, something to give. Everyone has gifts and talents and time, limited though it may be. Everyone has gifts and talents and time. Money, that I leave that between you and God. I pay my tithing and then some. And I feel good about it. Sometimes I wonder, oh, if we could just stop giving this offering, then I should just shut up. I should shut up because God's got it all. He's going to take care of it. And so I have to change the channel of my thinking. Sometimes it's like a broken record or, you know, radio station that just keeps looping, and I have to change the channel. There are several times I have to change the channel. God says, watch closely. I am preparing something new. It's happening now, even as I speak. Can we see it in the natural? Not necessarily. Can we believe for it? Absolutely. Should we believe for it?
Yes.
Yes. Should we envision it?
Yes.
We learned over the weekend, one of the things we learned was, if you can see it, you can have it. God is for us, every single one of us. We are all on a level playing field. Not one person is better than another. We are all God's kids. We have different giftings. We have different positions in the body. And it's a beautiful thing. It's amazing to go to California and see everybody get together. And we've done it so long now that we have developed friendships and we see people and we reconnect. And we're able to share the stories. I don't know how many times. Well, I could probably count, but there were several times where we got stopped, like Kay said, and what are you doing? What happened? What's going on? And then somebody else kept saying, you girls just glow. There's just a glow around you. Okay, I don't know why, but okay. I just take it and run with it. And I think it's just because we feel better all around. Everything's connected. And we were able to share those stories and the trials and the anxiety stories and the resources with several people who wanted to know, who were in similar situations. It was like, wow, this is a whole thing. Like, everybody's on board. Everybody's, maybe it's all because we're around the same age. I don't know. Think about it.
Could be.
We're all in this. And it's time to get serious. I mean, when you're young, who cares? It tastes good. Stick it in your mouth. When you're older and you get scared about something, things
still taste good.
It still tastes good, but you have to change your thinking.
Right.
Is it worth it? And because I had such a bad scare, went to the doctor and they said pre-diabetes, and then we found out it was anxiety and panic attacks, it was quite a whammy. So I had a lot of things going on at the same time. I went through sugar withdrawals. I was afraid to eat. That's all true. It was miserable. It was 2 weeks of misery. Not just for Kay, but for me. I didn't drive for a couple months because of the anxiety. I would have like this, felt like I was on a roller coaster, that weird movement thing. Out of nowhere, my heart would start pounding. I'd go from 75 to 125 for no reason. It was scary. And in all of that, I'm like, well, if it's food, if food's the problem, I don't want food. I didn't know what to eat. Eventually, we figured it out. And we got through it. But because I had such a big scare, it doesn't hurt my feelings to walk away. Oh, look, there's cake and ice cream. Look, here's an apple. I don't want the cake and ice cream because I know how it can make me feel. Something will just not sit right. And that's me. It's easier for me to say no. I am allowed to have dark chocolate as long as it's over 70%.
So and not late at night.
And not late at night. You have to be done eating 3 hours before bed, and yeah, we're still learning, and I don't deny myself everything. We had salad yesterday that had these fantastic croutons. I ate 3 croutons, and that was it. That was enough for me. I wanted to taste it. I don't need the scare. In Pastor Sandy's opening message, she made 3 points about that passage. She said that the passage says, I've done it before, and sure enough, it's right there. I'm doing it again, because he's God, he can do all things. And I'm making a new way and releasing new rivers. When we go to All Nations Gathering, for the past several years, they have a prophetic artist. Her name is Janice Van Cronkite. She's amazing. They set up at the front of the room an easel They plastic the floor, they give her a table, she has a stool, and she has all of her paints and her canvas and everything in the corner. In front of the stage, where the band is playing live music, and then the speakers are speaking, and nobody really stands still, everybody's all over the place. And Janice listens and absorbs herself in the music, in the moment, in the message, and she paints from what she hears and feels and sees. And I tried to find it last night and I couldn't find it. And I don't have a picture of it. I don't know what happened to it. She did the most amazing, bright, colorful, beautiful picture of these three small rivers coming from different directions, joining into one large, joyful, frothing, dancing river. It's spectacular. I love her artwork, so that's easy for me to love. And as part of at the end of that service, there was a song about dancing in the river. Is that what it was? So that she painted, and at the end of the message, Pastor Sandy had everybody out of their chairs at the front of the room dancing while the band played.
In the river.
Dancing in the river. It was fantastic. And that Janice was able to capture that moment was beautiful. So we've had our 50-year celebrations for the Jesus movement and the LGBT Christian movement. What's next? It's 2018. What's next? Pastor and Kay and I went to we spent the weekend in Farmington at something called Mentoring in the Miraculous. We got a lot of education. We spent a lot of time in worship with a very small worship team, which was great. There were four people. There was a guitar, a keyboard, a vocalist, and somebody who had some drum thing.
She was a singer, too.
Who also sang, right? And then at one point, there were only two people, the keyboard, and it was great. I was like, oh, we don't need to have a lot of people to have fantastic worship. Okay. It wasn't as easy as just sitting and listening because they made us do something. I said, okay, now we've had all these lessons. We've looked at the scriptures. We've learned all this stuff. Now I want anybody who has this issue, stand up. Now the people around, turn around and pray for that person. What's funny is Kay always gets excited about this stuff. And she's like, okay, yeah. And I'm like, do I have to? I don't know why I'm still there, but my first thought is, do I really have to? And then my second thought is to suck it up, because it's not about me. So we practiced what we learned. Everybody was part of miraculous healings over the weekend. Everyone in the room. It was something. But we need to start thinking of what's next. What's coming? What do we want to see in our church? Do we want to see our church grow? What does it look like when all the chairs in the sanctuary are full?
People downstairs.
Right. We have a speaker downstairs for overflow. We have it. We need the people now. We need to start praying them in. We need to engage with people. We need to talk with people. We need to tell them, no, we're not just a queer church. We're an inclusive church. Everyone is welcome.
Yes.
It's how it's supposed to be. God's family. Everyone is welcome in God's family. We shouldn't be any different. So at some point, I'd like all of you, do it now. Come stand up here with me, please. Told you I didn't know what it was going to look like.
God does.
Don't be shy. You guys come down too. You're okay.
We'll give you time to get back.
Now I want us to look at these chairs. Look at the empty chairs. Do we want to see them this empty again?
No.
No.
Can we imagine people sitting in the chairs?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Can we close our eyes and have a vision for that?
Yes.
Can we pray for that?
Yes.
We thank you, Lord, that we get to stand here together as a faith family, knowing that what we see in our mind's eye, if we see it, we can have it.
Yes.
We can have people filling our church. We can have so many people upstairs that they have to sit downstairs to listen to the speaker. God, we thank you. We thank you that we have the ability to stand here together in agreement, believing you.
Yes, Lord.
Knowing that you can do all things. And it's our job to be the conduit. We're just the in-between person. It's our job to say, hey, we're having a harvest potluck in a couple weeks. You should come to church. Bring your kids. We're going to have pumpkin decorating. We'll have chili and cornbread. Let's see if we can get the chairs full in a couple weeks. First we believe it, then we'll see it.
Yes, Lord.
It's scriptural. Thank you. You can sit back down. It's so important for us to get a vision of anything that we want. We're not meant to stand still. We're meant to move forward. We're meant to walk in victory. Sometimes we have to do that together.
Yes.
And we always do it. We always have someone else with us. This part is nice as well. So we need to keep picturing, spend time in prayer, picture, pray for Pastor, because he's going to have to lead all these people.
No, he's not. He's the head, but we're the ones that have to mentor people to get to where they need to go. We can't. He's the head, but we're the people that have to help people. He can help people too. He cannot not do something. But we have to say, come to church. We have to mentor people. We have to do that. And if I learned anything this last weekend, we have to do it together. We can't do it by ourselves. We have to speak it out, because if you don't speak it, it's not going to happen.
How many times have we heard, shepherds don't make sheep.
Right.
Sheep make sheep.
Right.
It's just how it is. So Pastor is definitely, he's the leader. He's the visionary. He should be leading and guiding. We get to be the hands and feet. Mm-hmm. Yes, he's part of that because he's a doer and he has to do something. And that's a good thing. It's a great quality. But that's not his job, to do everything. We're here to work together.
And the other thing is he said, let's all push the chairs back so that I can mop.
Who's
going
to mop? He thinks he's going to do it all.
He thinks he's going to do it all. So we need to make sure that we help. Well, he's going to mop during the week.
But Blue Jean is next week.
Yeah, Blue Jean's next week.
So we need to keep in mind what it looks like to stop being comfortable. What does it look like to stop being comfortable? I think I made everyone a little bit uncomfortable by saying, come up here. That's what it looks like. That's what might have been scary, but it wasn't terrifying, right? We were doing it together. We were facing the same direction. We were standing as a body. Don't be afraid to stand. As we grow, as things progress, know there's going to be some resistance. There's going to be some drama. Some things will pop up. But that's when it's most important to push through and stand firm in your faith, knowing that God's got it. Pastor was asked to pray for someone yesterday. And he said, I started hearing the other voice. And the other voice said, it's not going to work. And I told him, it's not about you. It's not our job to do the work. It's our job to take the step and let God work through us. We need to be open, willing, and available vessels to do God's work. Sometimes it's saying hi in the grocery store. Sometimes it's walking by someone and patting them on the shoulder because they don't get a lot of physical contact. You don't know what people need. If you feel like you need to meet someone, by all means. If you're outgoing enough to introduce yourself to people and start talking, by golly, do it. I'm working on it. I'm not there yet. I'm working on it. I'm doing well to be here. We need to keep pushing forward. And I believe we can have all of these chairs filled, these ones off the stage, and people downstairs listening to the messages because there's something that they need to hear. There's something they need to get out of this. What are you willing to do to grow our family? Will you stand with us? Will you stand in the gap for those who aren't here yet? They're going to be. We need to call them in. We need to believe for it.
Father God, we stand here in the gap for the people who aren't here. And Lord, we ask that you touch their hearts and know that you will meet them right where they're at. But Lord, we want our family to grow. We want them to just come in right where they are so that we can help them and show them where we are today because of the story that we have told. We know, Lord, that you love us. And if we don't know that, Lord, show us your love. Show us, open our eyes, open our ears. We know that we have those spiritual eyes. We know we have those spiritual ears that you've given us. Thank you, Lord, that it's about relationship. It's not about a religion. It's about a relationship that we can have with you. You are first. You are foremost in our minds, in our hearts. And Lord, we ask for forgiveness wherever we need to be forgiven. Lord, right now we stand in agreement. All of us stand in agreement that we are forgiven of everything that we've done in the past, and we are letting go of it, and we're not going to hold on to it, and it's not going to come creeping back in, because Satan, you are under our feet. Everybody stab their foot, because Satan's under your feet, and he has no right, no reason anywhere in this building or in our bodies. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, that we were healed from the top of our head into the bottom of our feet. Nothing's going to stop us from moving forward. Thank you, Lord, for the people that are out there. Thank you, Lord, for the people that are not with us. Thank you, Lord, that they're safe and protected from the evil that is trying to attack at them. Thank you, Lord, that they're healed. And Lord, we're going to all be happy together, because that's what you promised us. We are free from debt. We are free from infirmities that have been put on us. We are free from the witchcraft that is trying to attack us, each of our bodies and our hearts and our minds. And Lord, we're thankful that you have come right now, and your Holy Spirit is so strong in here. Thank you, Lord, that if you can't feel it, you ask for filling, because Lord, we know that you're here. And you live in each of us. We already have it. Lord, we ask that we want more. We want more of you. We want more of people in here. And Lord, we know that you can bring them. And we stand in agreement. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.